Turn, please, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I have one verse I'd like to read today. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. Paul writes to the Thessalonians and he says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." In this portion of the book of 1 Thessalonians, we find a number of distinct personal exhortations. Found in this listing is the text which I have chosen for today. With the holiday season upon us, this is the time of year that our minds are turned toward the subject of thanksgiving. We all understand that in the colonies of New England, when this country was first being settled, that life was very difficult. While some could earn a living from fur trading, the people quickly realized the need to depend upon fishing and agriculture. And they learned from the Indians how to raise Indian corn or maize, the food which saved the lives of the pilgrim in the first difficult years of the settlement at Plymouth. And we are aware that there was a time of thanksgiving to God in behalf of His provisions and protection. The first holiday feast was celebrated by pilgrim and Indian alike. It is interesting to notice Webster's definition of Thanksgiving Day, and he wrote, "A day appointed for giving thanks for divine goodness." I wonder how many of the American people will render thanks for God's goodness. I would like for us to consider this subject today, and I've entitled the message, "Give Thanks." Makes sense from the passage, doesn't it? May we give thanks. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you for the day, and bless our time together, that it might be honoring to you. Help us to recognize that, Lord, you've given us all good things, and we just give you the honor and the glory and the praise. Help us to be a thankful people, and we just ask that your will be done today. We do pray that if there's any here in our midst that are lost, that you would convict them of their sin and draw them to Jesus. And we pray that they might be saved today. We ask it in His name, and amen. Think about giving thanks today. We look into 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." The first thing I'd like to make mention of is the privilege. The privilege. He says, "In everything give thanks." Why is this a privilege? I believe it's a privilege to have knowledge of the ultimate source of such activity. Some people just don't recognize it. Now, I realize as we go through life, we have positive things that happen to us. We have negative things, and we're more likely to give thanks for the positive things than we are the negative things. But life consists of good things and bad things, positive and negative. And I think it's a privilege to have the knowledge of the ultimate source where those things come from. I remember my dad saying to me one time when I was just a young lad, he said, "That old hog out there eating acorns never looks up." And you know, the truth of the matter is there are so many people that receive so much from the hand of God and they never bother to look up. They don't have the awareness. They don't have the knowledge that these things come from God's bountiful hand. And our society is so privileged and our society is so... they just believe that everything is owed to them, that even if you do something for them, they never, hardly ever say thanks, do they? Because they figure, well, you owe it to me. We're entitled to it. They don't recognize the source of it. And I believe that's a real danger for you and me today to recognize as we go through this life. If we fail to notice that all these things come from God, He is the ultimate source and resource of it, then we have a real problem. So I think it's a privilege to have the knowledge to know that this is much more beyond ourselves. Even those negative things, and we're going to address that in just a moment. Can you imagine if God did not have a sovereignty over the negative things, then all the things that happen in this life, good or bad, are just a random circumstances? Can you imagine going through life thinking that everything is just random? I just don't think that's the case. Well, we'll talk about that in just a moment and why bad things do happen to us. But we're told in everything give thanks. It's a privilege to have the knowledge of that. I believe it's a privilege to have the opportunity to give thanks. God has given, and God has blessed, and God has protected. And we ought to have the opportunity. And, you know, we have that every day, don't we? I try to encourage when we pray, and I say, you know, we certainly need to ask God, but in all of our asking, let's be sure to give thanks. That's part of the lesson we find in the text. We ought to have the opportunity to give thanks, and what a privilege it is to do that. The last thing that I mentioned in this privilege is that not only do we have the opportunity to do so, we've been commanded to do so. The statement in the text, "and everything give thanks," is an imperative. It's a command. There's a couple other references. Turn back a few pages to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, and in verse 19, the apostle wrote to the Ephesian people, and he says, 5:19, "speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." We need to learn to give thanks. A few more pages to the right, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, very familiar passage, verse 17. Colossians 3:17, "and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." We ought to be a thankful people. One other reference, and then we'll come to our passage. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, and in verse 15. Hebrews 13:15 says, "By Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." We should be a thankful people. We ought to honor God, and when we do, we praise Him, and we give Him the glory. Back into our text, we find the command restated, "in everything give thanks." So that's the privilege of giving thanks. The second point is that word "everything" that we find in the passage, and that is the practice. Not just the privilege, but the practice. How much should we give thanks? He says in the text, "in everything give thanks." We all recognize that not everything that we encounter is, from our perspective, humanly good. We have bad times, don't we? Things that we don't like, things that we don't appreciate, and the hard times and the difficulties that come upon us. Not everything we know as we go through this life we consider to be as good. But he says, how often should we give thanks? In everything. And that's the type of practice that we ought to have. We should not only be saying, well, thank you for the food, and thank you for your provision, thank you for your protection, thank you for this and that, and thank you for your blessings. We ought to learn how to give thanks for, well, thank you for this trouble, thank you for this affliction. That's not easy to do, I understand, but we're told in the passage to do that. I would remind you that all good things come from God as a gift to us. James chapter 1, verse 17 says, "every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father above, of whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning." God doesn't change, but every good thing, every positive thing that we have in our lives comes from God. But what about those bad things? And that's what you're really thinking, because it's easy to thank God for the good things, right? It's easy to thank Him for the watch care and the provision. But those bad things, that's where we really stumble in giving thanks to God. I would remind you that all things that come to us, because God is a sovereign God, God is on His throne, all things that come to us come through either God's permissive will or God's directive will. That is, it is filtered, all those things filtered through the hands of God. Go back to the classic example, the book of Job. Job, the first chapter. Job, chapter 1. You remember Job and how that the devil went up and said, "Hey, well, you need to do something to Job here." And God said, have you considered my servant Job? And he said, well, what do you expect? You do everything for him. Just pick up these verses here. And what you need to recognize is that in this contest between God and the devil, as the devil had to have permission to do anything toward Job. He just couldn't do whatever he wanted. He had to get permission. So in Job 1, and pick it up there in verse 9, "Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught or for nothing? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, and it says in verse 13 and following, there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their house, and we know that the children were killed. He lost everything, flocks and herds. He lost everything except his health. He had good health, and he had his wife. But what was the devil allowed to do? He could do anything he wanted to Job, except he couldn't touch his body, couldn't he? So, he took his flocks and his herds, he took his children from him, but he couldn't do anything to Job because that's where all the leash that God gave him. And so then you'll notice in chapter 2, once again, as Satan comes back and God says, you move me against him, but he hadn't done anything wrong, and he responded well. And the devil's response, pick it up in verse 4, Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath, will he give for his life. Put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. Now what did God allow Satan to do? He allowed Job to be tested physically now. So what do we find in just this classic example with Job? And of course, you read through the text, Job responds well to his calamity. God protects his own. God takes care of him. And we'll look at that in just a moment. But we find that Job is tested in every capacity that he can be tested in as a human being. He's tested physically, and he's tested with everything else that's around him. He lost his children. He lost all of his possessions. And he lost his health. And so he has these great testings upon him, all through the filter of God's sovereignty, was it not? Now, Job did not sin. Job did right. He did not curse God, did not blame God. We do find in chapter 1, as I mentioned, that God protected him. The devil brought that up, where he said, Hey, haven't you hedged about him? Haven't you hedged about his house? Haven't you protected him? I'll tell you, my friend, all the protection you have is because of God's graciousness to you. I mean, we see so much crime in this city, and you turn on the news, you can't hardly see a news clip without seeing somebody getting shot or a home break-in or a carjacking or something. You know why you haven't become a victim yet? I'll tell you why. It's because God's protected you. It's a simple matter, isn't it? God watches over us, and God protects us. And God protects His own. It says in Psalm 34, verse 7, the angels of the Lord encamp around about them that fear Him and delivers them. God watches over His people. But bad things happen to us, don't they? It's hard to give thanks. If I did become a victim, it'd be difficult. Lord, thank you that I got shot. Not that being shot is good, but can God work through that? Yes, He can. And God does have a reason and a purpose. But let's explore some of the things that God might allow these things to come upon us. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 12 for just a moment. Hebrews chapter 12. He says, in everything, in your practice of giving thanks, give thanks in everything. Yeah, even those bad things. Now, why is it we should give thanks? Well, let me just offer you some reasons of why bad things happen to us. And sometimes things bad happen to us because it's just a matter of discipline. Chapter 12, book of Hebrews, verse 5 says, And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he of whom a father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you illegitimate children and not sons. You know, in our lifetimes, as when I grew up, was I disciplined? Yes. Were you disciplined? Chances are, yes, you were. Was that fun at the time? Did you enjoy that? Did you like that paddling? Did you like the discipline that your parents gave you? Maybe they made you stand in a corner and write 100 sentences or whatever the case was. But sometimes bad things happen to you from your parents because it was a matter of chastisement. It was a matter of discipline, wasn't it? And I'll tell you, God will allow things to come into our life, or He'll cause things to come into our life, either way, in order to chasten us. If we're going to stray as children of God and go our merry way and not pay any attention, and we'll get ourselves in trouble so easily, just like kids will. They need direction, they need guidance, they need chastisement. And I'm glad that God loves me enough to chasten me. And I'll tell you, when bad things happen, I'll ask the Lord, "Lord, are you trying to show me something here? Are you trying to get my attention? Are you tapping me on the shoulder?" I would rather respond than wait until it comes worse if God's chastening me. Not everything that happens to us is bad is a chastening. But sometimes it is. So I'm thankful that my parents chastened me. I'm thankful that God chastens me. So should I give thanks for those bad things when God's chastening me? He says in everything, give thanks. Does that make sense? Let me offer you a second and go over a few more pages to the right to James chapter 1. Sometimes these bad things come upon us because it's the purpose, just for the purpose of making us stronger, the purpose of endurance, to the building up of strength. Or can we use the word maturation? Helps us to mature. James chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Do you like your faith being tried? You like going through that? No, but he says, "The trying of your faith, what will it do? It will produce patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." It develops us. It matures us. It causes us to be stronger. If God just allowed everything to come to us with great ease, we'd be so soft we couldn't take anything. I understand that when the wind blows and puts a stress upon those trees, that the roots go deeper. And so, my friend, when we go through troubles and trials, maybe we haven't done anything wrong. God's not chasing us. He just wants to make us stronger. He just wants to make us tougher. He wants us to grow up. And some kids have a hard time learning that, growing up. God will allow things to come upon us to make us more mature. Another reference is Romans chapter 5, where Paul writes in a similar vein as James did. Romans chapter 5, and I'm going to read verse 3 through verse 5. Romans 5, 3 through 5. "And not only so, but we glory in tribulation." Do we like that? No. But he says, "We glory in tribulations also." Why? "Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience experience. Experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Those things will teach us and make us stronger. We often caution people, be careful when you pray for patience. What can you expect? You can expect troubles. You know why? Because tribulation works patience. But we need to grow. We need to develop. We need to mature. Go back to your left a little bit further, back to John chapter 15. So sometimes these bad things, by the sovereign hand of God, His directive will or His permissive will, they come upon us. And we're told to give thanks for them. And we can, because, well, sometimes they are for discipline and sometimes they are for maturation. But another thing, and I've asked you to turn to John chapter 15, sometimes these things come upon us because it's for pruning. I'm not much of an agricultural person. I don't deal with plants too much, but I do understand a little bit about pruning. John chapter 15, what's he saying, verse 1 and verse 2? "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He takes away." But notice, "And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." You say, "I don't understand. I'm living for the Lord and I'm being used of God, but these things keep coming upon me." What's He doing? He's pruning you. Because when you're being pruned, you'll produce more fruit. I don't understand how all that works, but it does, doesn't it? And so things will happen to us because God's just pruning in our lives. Go back, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Another thing that comes upon us, these troubles, these trials, these afflictions, sometimes it's simply for the glory of God. Now, I know for as selfish as we are, we don't like that too much. What, you're going to do this to me just so you can get the glory? Well, yeah, pretty much. Should we give thanks for that? Absolutely. What did Peter say? 1 Peter chapter 1. And we notice in verse 6 and verse 7. He says, you rejoice greatly in that salvation. He says, though now for a season, verse 6. If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. You're saved, God's blessed you, but you're going through a difficult time. Even if it's just for a time, but you have manifold temptations. Notice he says in verse 7 that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. What is he saying there? More than what you can expect gold to be purified, the trial of your faith will increase your faith and make your faith more purified. And what will that do? It might be found, notice the end of the verse, verse 7, might be found unto the praise and the honor and the glory of the appearing of Jesus Christ. Sometimes God allows these things to come upon us simply because it tries our faith, and that makes us better, and that will be honoring and glorifying to God when He comes back for us. Over in John chapter 9, there's an excellent example given where there's a man born from a birth. He was blind from birth. I'm just going to read to you the first three verses, John 9. Jesus passed by and he saw a man that was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, notice their thought, and we do this all the time, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Have you made those judgments before? See bad things happen to people, and you go, yeah, they've done something bad. Oh, maybe they have, maybe they haven't. Now, these disciples raise it up. Who sinned, this man or his parents? Here's Jesus' answer. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. Not that they've ever sinned, but his blindness wasn't a result of their sin. He said, but the works of God should be manifest in him. And the guy's lived all of his life blind for the purpose for Jesus to come to him and to heal him for God's honor and for his glory. And so in John chapter 9, you have a blind man being healed. And why was this man suffering all of his life down to this point? It's simply for the glory of God. I know that's not easy to take sometimes. But he says, in everything, give thanks. And so, why? Well, because God made bringing some discipline upon us. He may be bringing us to maturity, pruning us to make us a little bit better, and simply for God's glory. But let me offer one other reason why these things may come upon us. Sometimes, and I don't have a direct verse scripture for you on this. I do have you some stories instead of looking at all these things. But sometimes it's just in God's providence that He'll bring upon these things in order to direct us in our lives or to bring us to a point where we need to be so He can work His plan through us. God's providence. Example, remember Joseph, one of the 12 sons of Jacob? He was hated by his brothers. He was sold into slavery. He was lied about, cast into prison, forgotten about for his good deed of interpreting the dream. But eventually, over the period of time, what happened? Well, he was brought out of the prison house and he interpreted the dream for Pharaoh, and he ended up being second in command in the land of Egypt. And what happened? He was used to preserve a nation. All those bad things happened to Joseph. And you say, well, he kind of taunted his brothers because he was the favored son. Yeah, perhaps. And well, maybe it just made him stronger. Well, no doubt his faith was increased. God can do so many things through a single event. But it was through the providence of God that God was going to take Israel down to Egypt to provide for them during those years of famine. And He sent Joseph ahead of time to make that preparation. All those bad things happened to Joseph for the purpose of saving the nation alive. Do you remember the example of Naomi, the book of Ruth? Famine came upon the land. They went down into Moab. Her husband dies. Her two sons die. And so they return back into the land. But Ruth comes with Naomi, and the other Oprah stays there. But Ruth comes back because of the shortage of food. Ruth has to get out and work in the fields. And so she does. But you know the whole story of Ruth and God's provision. She's in the Christ line. simply by the providence of God. If the famine wouldn't have happened and these things wouldn't have come upon them and the deaths, these things wouldn't, from a human perspective, wouldn't have happened out that way. But she was chosen for the Christ line, God's providence. What about Esther? We just finished the book of Esther on Wednesday nights, and we know that story. The Jews have been carried away into captivity. That's no fun. Nobody likes that. And then, of course, through a beauty pageant, as it were, and you just have to remember the story of Esther. But Esther was chosen from a contest of all these women and became queen. And bad things came upon Mordecai, and that was a very difficult time. And Haman hated the Jews and was going to destroy the Jews. And so there was a great trial of hatred and genocide on the horizon. And yet what happened, because of Esther being where she was used to preserve the nation of Israel once again. If she'd have never been born in captivity, if she'd have never been beautiful enough to be selected, then what would have happened to the nation? By the providence of God, bad things happened for the preservation. Let me offer you a personal example, and then we'll continue on in our passage. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And go back there to verse 18. I know you departed from there. Go back to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Does God bring bad things to work in His providence in our life to accomplish His purposes? Yes, He does. When I was in college, I graduated college way back in the 1980s. And I graduated in 1981. And I loved college. I loved the condition. I loved the situation. I loved the surroundings. I loved the people. I loved the church. And you know what? As far as I was concerned, I was content to stay right there. And so I thought, well, there's no reason to go anywhere else. I can serve God in this place. Then in 1982, things started to happen and trouble started to brew. And I got pulled into it, and there was just troubles and tribulation. All of a sudden, I wasn't welcome much anymore. And all of a sudden, I didn't want to be here anymore. And you know what God had to do? God didn't want me to graduate and stay around there the rest of my life and waste my time there. He wanted me to go out and serve Him where He wanted me to be. But I was content to be there. And what He did is He made it not so contenting anymore. He made it to where I didn't want to be there, and I needed to move, and I needed to go out, and I needed to be where God wanted me to be. God used hardship and troubles to move me. And He does that all the time, does He not? Doesn't God work in His providence? Should I give God thanks for all those things? Yes. Yes. If I'd have stayed there, I might not have ever been here. Give thanks to God in everything. And so we see this matter of giving thanks. You're back into the text, right? So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. The third thing I want to mention unto you is the purpose. In everything, give thanks. Well, why should I do that? For this is the will of God. For any reason whatsoever, I can give you all kinds of offerings today. The best reason for you to give thanks in everything is because God wants you to do that. You should give thanks to God in all the things that happen to you because God said, this is my will. My will. We've already noted in the passage that it's a command. God is not asking us, He's commanding us. God clearly tells us to give thanks. And so we should endeavor to do so because God wants us to. And so you say, well, I can't do that. I can't thank God for my hardships and troubles and trials. Then what you need to do is you need to ask God for grace and mercy to allow you to get to the place where you can give Him thanks in the midst of these things. And maybe you don't have an answer. Maybe the things that are happening to you don't fall under the categories I've suggested today, and you're still scratching your head and you just don't know how it's going to work all out. Still thank Him for it. God, I don't know why this is here. I don't know. I've learned as much as I can learn. But you know what? You're working it for a purpose. And You said that You would bless. And so I'm going to trust You, whatever You're doing. And I'm going to thank You because You're going to work this out. That's where the encouragement comes. And that's where we need to learn to give God thanks. Simply because God said, that's my purpose for you. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Notice then the personal aspect of it where it just says concerning you. Concerning you. Am I to give thanks to God in everything? Yes. Are you to give thanks to God in everything? Yes. And you, and you, and you, and you. It's personal. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Not only does it pertain to us individually, but I believe it also pertains to us corporately as a church. Our church ought to give thanks to God for His blessings and His even the bad things that come upon us. You see the text? Look at it once again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. It's very, very simple, isn't it? I've tried not to complicate it. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In closing, then, there are a few things I want to offer unto you regarding the giving of thanks in everything. When we give God thanks in everything, first of all, there is a recognition of the sovereignty of God over us. Remember at the beginning I talked about the hog that never looks up to see where the acorns came from? Are you one of those that go through life and you never look up to see where all these things are coming from? Don't be like that. You need to recognize there is a sovereign God of this universe. He is on His throne. And everything that comes to us comes by His permissive will or His directive will. But all things filter through His hands first. And you need to, I believe it's necessary to recognize that. I didn't say become a fatalist. I didn't say, oh, well, then I'm going to quit doing things. If God wants to do it, it'll be done. That's a terrible way to approach life. But it is, I believe it's important to recognize, and it was a privilege to know where these things come from. That's how we can give thanks. Again, if it's all random, how can you give thanks for that? You just never know what's going to happen. Well, it's just random happenings of life. If I know a sovereign God is over that control and He's filtered it by His love and His concern and care for me, it's much easier to give thanks for that, isn't it? Well, secondly, not only should we have a recognition for the sovereignty of God over us, there is also the dependency upon the promises of God's Word. Just for example, Romans 8:28. You know Romans 8:28? It says, and we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. What a precious promise. Every believer has that promise. We know that all things, not some things, not good things, all things, even the bad things, we know that all things work together for good. Didn't say that everything was good, it just said that everything works together for good. And we've already given you some reasons why God may be doing these things. And so we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and them who are called according to His purpose. And as a child of God, I can recognize these things come to me through the sovereign hand of God. And He said that He's going to work that out for our good and for His glory. That makes it much easier to say thank you when you're suffering. Didn't say we'll do it all the time, but we know the command of Scripture. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We need to learn to give thanks, even for those bad things. But do you recognize as well, number three, that in giving God thanks in everything, even those bad things, that it shows an abiding trust in God? Does God know what He's doing? Does He always do things which are right? Is God holy? God not only knows what He is doing, but He is doing the right things for our benefit. Have you ever done anything for your children? You discipline your children. They just don't understand it. Everybody else has done it. Well, you're not everybody else. Did you get the classic? Well, if they all jumped off a bridge, would you jump off too? You know, I mean, some of them would probably. I am glad that I, as a child, could trust my parents to do right by me. And I'm glad that I know as a child I can trust God to do right. And I may not like some things, but it's necessary. And we disciplined our children. It was necessary. It was for their good, even though they didn't understand it. And dear friend, we need to recognize, if we can thank God for that, we understand then, I am trusting God. Because it's in His hands, and He'll take care of it. He knows what He's doing. He's doing it for my benefit, and He's going to receive glory from it, and that suits me. That's where we want to be. That's where we should strive to be. Number four, there is also a confidence that we will receive reward because He has been glorified through our lives. If God does something for God's glory through me, and this, I don't like it, but I give Him the praise, and I give Him the glory, and I give Him the thanks as He says, will I be rewarded for that? I believe so. And so if we'll just respond well, God will be rewarding us for our faithfulness to Him. And we want to have that abiding trust. And we want to have that confidence in Him. But then I submit unto you in the fifth aspect that there is an acceptance of the circumstances of life, whether they're good or whether they're bad. If we give God thanks in all things, then we accept those things. And what that will enable us to do is it will enable us to live a contented life. I know that's not easy. We preached on contentment just a few weeks back. But if you fight your circumstances all the time, you're miserable. Not just with the circumstances, but you're miserable in your heart. We want to become content. How do I get there? You just keep asking God for grace and mercy and understanding and awareness, faith and trust. But if we can say, thank you, Lord, for these bad things, then we've accepted. That's through the hand of God, and He's working out a purpose, and I trust God with that, and we can go forward. Do you find that encouragement? And of course, that kind of response is a proper response. That's what God wants for us. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Simply, the giving of thanks glorifies God, doesn't it? We've seen that in the text. That's giving praise. So when I, as His child, am at the place where I can thank Him, even for those bad things, that gives God honor, that gives Him glory, that praises Him. And as His child, that ought to be my desire. Praise God. Give Him the glory. Some of you are suffering, some of you are hurting, I know that. Some of you are worse than others. We don't recognize the pain that people go through. But I'll tell you, God always does, and God always sees, and God always knows. And that pain is coming for a purpose and has a reason behind it. And we just have to be at that place where we know that God is working it, and we can trust Him, and we can abide in Him, and we can thank Him. May God grant us grace to be a thankful people. Let's look up. Let's see where these things are coming from. And give Him the honor and give Him the glory. And dear sinner, I just point you to Jesus. He alone is the Savior. Apart from Him, you will not go to heaven. You'll die and you'll go to hell. You'll be in judgment forever. You need Jesus. He is the Savior. Only through Him can you have salvation. And really only through His grace and mercy can you give Him thanks for those bad things that come upon your life. Give God thanks, would you? Let's stand. Thank you, O Lord, for the privilege of sharing Your Word once again. I pray that You just direct it to our hearts, that we would learn the lesson well. And Lord, I pray for Your grace to rest upon me and upon everyone under the sound of my voice, that we would apply these truths and by Your Spirit learn to give thanks, even in the bad things, so that You'll be praised and You'll be glorified. Cause us to love You. Cause us to be faithful. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn, if you would, to number 355. 355.